Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Okay, all right, Luke in chapter 5. It's Sunday, best day of the week. Amen. Sunday, first day of the week. It's 11 o'clock. That's the best hour of the week, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe not as far as you're concerned, but boy, I love preaching and I love the Word of God. And I want to start out by mentioning something that it was mentioned to me last week. I mentioned it on Sunday night, that I based my whole sermon last week on what I said was a verb. And I use the word giver instead of give, and all the teachers, and I even got feedback from online people that the word giver is not a verb. It is not a verb. It's a noun. And I tried to excuse it, and I tried to explain it away everywhere I could, and then it occurred to me late last night. I'm just ready to doze off. This is how my mind works. I guess I'm thinking about last Sunday, subconsciously. And all of a sudden it hit me. Giver is too a verb. We say that all the time in the Upper Peninsula. Give her the gas. Give her the gun. In the UP, it's a verb. So there you go. Even when I'm wrong, I'm right. Okay, let's close in prayer. I trust that God is going to bless in some great ways this morning. Before I get to the message, it's in Luke in chapter 5, and it's going to be a message of encouragement. I want to encourage you, but before I get there, I do want to take note that the pro-life march was this last week, and normally hundreds of thousands of people descend upon Washington, D.C., and they weren't able to do that. There was a march, but most of the march was virtual. And I just want to allude to it this morning. This is a pro-life church. Amen. Because we have a pro-life God. And abortion is not and never has been meant to be a form of birth control. It is murder. The baby that is in the womb is a baby. Remember when John the Baptist inside of Elizabeth's body was in the presence of Jesus inside the body of the womb of Mary? John the Baptist leaped at the presence of Christ. And it wasn't just a fetus. It was Jesus the Christ. You got to remember that. David said, in my mother's womb, my Father, our Heavenly Father, my God, knew me. He said, understand, abortion is murder. Okay, I'm getting two sermons in this morning. I got that one. Now let's go to Luke in chapter 5. Stand with me, please. Luke in chapter 5. I want to encourage you best way I know how, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will be the comforter, will be the encourager for you this morning. It's a world of darkness. I recognize that. It says in verse 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Father, we come to you this morning knowing that in Jesus' day, people were hungry for scripture, hungry for the word of God. And we know it's true today as well, but there's a famine of God's word today. The scripture is not being proclaimed and heralded in every pulpit and in every corner, and in the regions beyond. And Lord, would you raise up more preachers and get more churches on fire and back to the basics and holding to the word of God, knowing that these are desperate days and yet exciting days. God bless your people, not only here, but all over the world. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. People are hungry for the word of God, but yet it's a world of darkness. And you don't get the same periodicals that I get. You don't get the same news articles that I get. Some of you do. Some of you are really up to speed on these kinds of things. This just came across the wire last week, and you're not going to hear this on the media that's out there, the media that's carrying the tune, the music for America today. But right now, as we speak, tens of thousands of Chinese pastors and evangelists are being rounded up, and they're being sent to concentration camps. So much so that those that have not yet been caught have destroyed their cell phones, because that's how they're being tracked. And in China, check it out. In China, you have to get an ID card, and on that ID card is a microchip. And without that ID card, you don't buy groceries, you don't travel, you got nothing going for you. And these pastors have destroyed those cards so it's a little harder to find them. And I say all that to say this. And by the way, the Chinese government is referring to this as the final assault to eradicate Christianity in their nation. Now, I say that to say this. The Church of Jesus Christ in China is thriving. And one of the reasons this is going on is they're infiltrating positions of power as well. And the Chinese government won't have anything to do with that. We live in a day and age where, you know, we're just a step away from that kind of thing as well here in America. And I know that you think I am overstating this when I mention this from time to time, but, and I know I've mentioned it quite a bit during COVID, but you got to know, man, you just have to understand, discern the times. That's what the scripture says, and where we're at and what is going on. Now, you might be here this morning and you feel like you're a failure. You may feel like you have failed in life and things are kind of piling up on you. And I want to something. You're at the bottom of the barrel of life looking up. This message is for you. I want to encourage you. If you still have breath in your lungs and life in your being, you can still turn everything over to God. You can let go and let God. You haven't done real well micromanaging your own life. How about putting God first in your life? Jesus, last Sunday morning, preached on giving, right? Giver, right? The noun giver, all right? So as the verb giver. So as a people, I'm just encouraging you again. This is part two, different message. Part two, I want you to just let go, throw caution to the wind, and serve your God in heaven. And you're going to find out that's the best way to go. And really, that is the only way to go. Now, you say, I want to be a success. Understand this. God doesn't measure success like our culture measures success. It isn't the man that has the most money or the most toys that is a success. Paul said, comparing ourselves among ourselves is not wise. You can't do that. Everything just keeps getting diluted. You've got to run back to the Bible. Amen. Run back to the Word of God. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up. Maybe you're even looking around the church house this morning and say, man, that family is obviously blessed of God. They got all their ducks in a row and things are just happening for them. And they obviously have the joy of the Lord. I can see it. But it's not that way in my house. It's not that way where I live. I want to encourage you this morning. I want you and I to both learn a lesson together that God taught Peter in Luke and chapter 5. This is early in Jesus' ministry. And in chapter 5, there's 5 or 6 related events that are recorded for us here. The miraculous catch, which I'm going to preach this morning. The healing of the leper, the paralytic that was, you know, lowered down from the roof and was healed. The call of Matthew or Levi and the parable of new garments and the old wineskins. And so Jesus teaches a lot, but we're just going to go through maybe 5 verses. We might get as far as 10. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And again, I need to say this. People are hungry for the word. Fads come and go, and when you get old enough, you get sick of that kind of stuff. Physically, I have no desire to wear bell-bottom jeans again. None. They're gone. Yeah. Do you remember those days? Plaid pants. You were cool in high school, man. And your hair with the, you know, the bangs down. Remember 6th grade? Whip your hair back. You're cool. I remember. Man, I wish I could do that again. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, they wanted to hear the word of God. We have to stand for something. We have to be the people of God that hold up the scriptures and say, this is it. This is what we are about. This is who we are. The word of God. John Wayne. You know, I'm a John Wayne man. You know that, right? I've got John Wayne books. I've got the code of John Wayne in a leatherback book. I've got John Wayne cups, John Wayne clock. I've even got a 6'3" John Wayne cutout that's in the closet in my office. I'll go further than that. In fact, there's a family in this church that gave it to me. Mike Frank, do you remember that black art that you gave me? Is that what they call it? Velvet, black velvet art or whatever it is? It is the most hideous picture of Rooster Cogburn you'll ever see in your life. And Debbie, but like this, isn't it? And Debbie, say loud so the people on the live stream can hear. Where is that? How many years ago did you give that to me? Man, it's been 10 years anyway, hasn't it? It's been a long time. Where does that picture hang in our house?
In our bedroom.
Right over top of my bed. Right there is one-eyed Rooster Cogburn. And I'm telling you, it's not a classy picture. It's hideous. I think if you walk in there at night and you flip the light on, you would jump. I mean, I really do. But Mike thought it was a beautiful picture. Thought of me right away when you saw it. Yeah. Yeah, you did. Yeah. But John Wayne stood for something. That's why I bring him up all the time. In fact, one of his quotes, words, that's what men live by. The word of God, that's what I live by. The words of men, they change. But I like John Wayne. I'm a JW. I'm a JW-er right there. JW-er. That's a verb. That's a verb. John Wayne, all right? Okay, verse 1 again. It came to pass that that as the people pressed upon him. You can read chapter 1. People were falling over one another to hear him preach when he spoke. Chapter 12, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. So there was a press. The people were, they were pressed in tight. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Here's the deal. They're done for the day. They fish at night. Peter is one of these fishermen. They are done for the day. They put in a full day's work and they caught nothing. They accomplished nothing. Bring it right back to where you're living. It might be that you feel like you're not a success. Man, you're putting in the hours, the sweat equity, and it's like you're running in place and nothing is getting done. You feel like spiritually you're just a washout. This is right where Peter was. Here's a professional. He's not catching anything. You know why? God has something big for him. And God is going to teach him a great lesson. And I think it was James and John. They jumped right in at the same time. They saw the blessing of God. Say, man, that's what we want too. It says in verse 2, they were washing their nets. Verse 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. That's his platform. Once again, people are hungry for the truth. Why are people coming to Fundamental Baptist Church? Because the Bible is preached. That's it. That's the bottom line. Why have they been coming for 40 years? 40 plus years, because it was, what, 6-7 years before me. Because the Bible is preached. Sure, people fall by the wayside, and we're all made of the same stuff, and we understand what that is. Sometimes people backslide, and then they come back. Some people move away, you know, but why do people keep coming here? Why does the crowd keep growing when everybody else seems like it's in reverse, even using Hollywood methods and show big show methods? Why are people? Because people are hungry for the bread of life. The Bible is preached. That's what Jesus preached. Jesus is exalted here. He's lifted up. And God is blessing here. And if, as long as we'll keep doing that, as long as we'll keep the pulpit red hot with the whole counsel of the Word of God, as long as we sing the songs of the blessed, of the faith, as long as we have people following God and we're evangelistic, God is going to continue to bless and people are going to still want to get here. I guarantee you, I just saw three cars drive by out there in M80 because of the glass front we got there. And I guarantee you, car after car goes by, maybe not every one of those three, but they all have the same thinking. I've talked to so many people. The last man I led to the Lord, he said the same thing. Man, it just seems like so much is going on there all the time. And it was bothering him. Something is happening there, and it might be truth, and he didn't know what was going on, but he didn't have the courage to come in. Man, you know, people are going by all the time. They see the parking lot full. They wonder, man, that church has got it going on. I wonder what's happening. And as long as we don't mess it up by being a bad testimony, as long as we don't mess it up by dragging the name of Christ through the mud, if we'll just exalt him, others will come to him as well. But the first thing you've got to do, verse 5, let's get down to that. Verse 4 says, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a, and the word is draft, old English word. Let down your nets for a draft. Now here's the deal. The boat is empty. The nets are empty. They fished all night. Not a success. Accomplished nothing. Then Jesus comes by. He teaches the word of God. He preaches. Jesus is a preacher. He preaches the word of God. Then after the crowd start to leave, he looks over at Peter and says, Peter, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. Peter, let me show you what I can do through you if you'll surrender to me. Peter's response, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net. The word, that's always the key. You might work for someone else. You might be a businessman yourself, a businesswoman. You could have a small business. You might be an employee of a factory. You might work over here at the prison, whatever it is. And you've got your own little life that's going on at the same time. And you're raising a family and you've got an extended family. You're trying to make everything work. Why don't you just let God have his way in your life? Just a little bit of faith. Didn't make sense to Peter. Peter was the professional. Lord, we fished all night. We caught nothing. But there was something about Jesus. There still is today. Amen. And Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, we'll do it. Get up, guys. They're going to sweat again. All right. Verse 5, Simon answering said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. First thing you got to do is admit that you're a failure without Christ. I don't care if you're a millionaire. You're a failure without Christ. I don't care if you got 10 kids and they all got good jobs. You raised them that way. You're a failure without Christ. It's all empty. You're headed to the casket. You're taking nothing with you and you made no impact for God. And some of your children, God was going to use in the ministry, but you didn't steer them that way. God was going to use your business in the ministry, but you were more interested in kind of getting more and getting more and getting more. You know what? And you're a failure without Christ. Peter, in order to obey Christ and let down the nets again, he had to admit that as a professional, he was a failure without Christ. Without humility, you'll never be used of God. You know better than God? You need humility. You need to understand, I prayed multiple times this morning. Different ways. Lord, it's me. I know you know who I am. I have no right to be here. I'm unworthy. When I said those words this morning, I broke into tears. I was in the presence of God. I am unworthy. I have no righteousness. I have nothing to claim except your only begotten Son. I have Jesus. And I know that when you see me, you see his righteousness. And God, I want to be used of you. I want to help people this morning. And in order for that to happen, there's got to be more than just academic preaching. There's got to be unction. There's got to be the Holy Spirit penetrating hearts and getting into minds and lives. And I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, here in the auditorium or even on live stream. I have no idea where this is all going. But you, if you have no humility, you're in a place where God cannot bless. You're in a place where God cannot use you. You have to admit you're a failure without God. That's the first thing, the first step. And then agree to the commands and the promises of God. That's what Peter did. Nevertheless, at your word, we'll launch out into the deep. We'll let the nets down again. We'll go through the whole thing again, but something's going to be different this time. Jesus is in the boat. Let's read on. Verse 6 says, and when they had done this, or this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. That means all the different kinds of fish, not just numbers alone. And their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Man, it's unbelievable. This is the miracle of the harvest of fish. You know, where they already fished all night long. Now they listen to Jesus preach, their hearts burning within them. Man, this guy, when he preaches, it's different. Never a man spoke like this man. There's something different about this Jesus. And then Jesus looks at them and says, Peter, I need your boat. I'm done preaching now. Launch out into the deep. I'm going to show you what following me will do. And they launched out in the deep and they let down their nets in the deep and their nets were overflowing. The nets were breaking. Their boat was sinking. They yelled up on shore, hey, to their partners, come on out. There's all kinds of fish here. Jesus showed us where the fish was. And they came out and the fish just kind of swam into those nets and both boats were close to sinking. Such a big miracle. Peter sees his own sin. Let's read that verse 6. I'm sorry, all the way down to verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, it's the only way he could respond. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. It's the only thing that he could do. Maybe you're at life right now, you feel like you're a flat failure. And maybe you're at the place where this winter, everything just seems to be going wrong. Maybe it's family issues. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's financial issues. But everything just seems to be going wrong. God has you in right just in the place that he wants you to be where he can bless you again. Maybe you need to be humbled. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're more humble than me. That wouldn't be too hard to do. I'm just saying you're to the place where you recognize, man, nothing is working. Jesus will climb in your boat if you'll let him. And don't limit what God can do to the size of your boat or your pitiful little nets. Man, he'll overflow. My cup runneth over. That's what the psalmist said. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Just prior to that, he said, my cup runneth over. I trust that's the kind of life you're living right now. You see, it doesn't matter. The cup really doesn't matter. It might be fancy china. It could be an earthen vessel. It might be carved out of wood. It don't matter. It don't matter. Wherever God has you in life, if you'll just surrender, admit you're a failure without God. Some of us forgot that. Admit you're a failure without God. You know why the Chinese church is thriving right now? They have nothing to cling to but God. That's it. They have no trouble admitting, they see their loved ones being carried off. They have no trouble admitting they're a failure. They need God. We've got to have you, God. And there's revival. And God begins to work. And I'm telling you, admit you're a failure without God and ask God to get in your boat. He's right there. He'll get in the boat. Man, it's going to get better as you go along. And there's an assignment given by Christ. Look at verse 10. Skip all the way down to verse 10. I'll read 9 too. For he was astonished at all and all they that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. So James, John, and Peter are partners. They were the other boat. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. All of a sudden, their boat wasn't more important than God. Their nets weren't more important than Jesus. They got a little taste of what it's all about. And they recognized the best and safest place to be is right smack dab in the middle of God's will for their lives. God may not be telling you to leave your boat and leave your nets, but God is telling you to trust him. And God is saying, I'll bless you if you follow me. And God is saying also that, you know, he didn't paint a false picture. In fact, if you read on in the Gospel of Luke, man, there were some difficult days ahead, but they followed Christ anyway. because they recognized him as Messiah. Do you recognize Jesus as God? Man, I'm out of time. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 12. They threw themselves into the perfect will of God. Very few New Testament Christians are willing to do that. But those that do know God's blessing. There are things that everybody can do. You can pray every day. You can read your Bible every day. You can bring friends to Christ. And you can make it just your life. You can become a fisher of men and women and children and see many saved. In 2 Corinthians, I'd like to read the whole chapter. We don't have time. Let's just skip all the way down to verse 9. And it's a text that I have preached before. And I know some of you know this well. If you will give your weaknesses to God, he will use you. That's what's going on in China. He will use your weaknesses. Verse 9 says, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He's talking about the thorn in the flesh, his weakness. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul found out and discovered, well, if I have weaknesses, that's where I'll lean on God. And apparently, and he sees it in hindsight, that's where the power of God falls. So God, make me weak. God, put me right here. Give me that infirmity. Give me that thorn in the flesh so that I might have the power of God. I'll trade this pitiful life for the power of God any day. And if I have to carry some burdens, some weaknesses, some infirmities along the way, it's for my good. And that's what the Bible teaches us here. That's where the power of God is. Now, whatever your weakness is, give it to God. It might be physical. It might be spiritual. It might be something you can do, something you can be, but you give it to God. And that's where the power of God falls. You know, when persecution does break out, and I pray it doesn't, you know, who wants to suffer, right? Wouldn't it be great if the rest of the world's Christians suffer, but the trumpet sounds in America, pff, we're out of here. You know, it obviously climaxes with the rapture of the church, but we don't know if that's how it's going to work. It don't look like that's how it's going to work. Have you been paying any attention to the executive orders being signed?
Yeah.
You know, now men can go into women's locker rooms full-fledged. If a man identifies as a woman, that morning when he gets up, he's a woman. To play basketball in the women's team. You know, and it just has to be temporary. I feel like a woman today. That's not equality. That's perversion. That's a culture without Christ that does not understand. We need revival. If you're not born again, you need to come to Christ. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. You come to Jesus as the only Savior. And you can just pray like this. Dear God, I deserve to go to hell. I know I'm a sinner, but I understand that you're the Savior, and I'm trusting you for eternal life. Oh God, come into my heart and into my life and be my Savior in Jesus' name. If you prayed that, you need to tell somebody about it. Contact the church. Let us know.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.